You're listening to Inland Edition on 91.9 KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Our guest is Carolyn Savello. She is Color's Chief Commercial Officer. The company Color is based in the Bay Area and partnered with the state of California to facilitate testing and vaccinations across the state. So welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lillian. I appreciate it.
So first off, in more detail, what's your company and what were they tasked to do as a partner with the state of California during the pandemic?
So our mission has always been around how do we just increase access to basic healthcare services, particularly in communities and where people live and where they work. So being able to facilitate really, really easy access to basic healthcare services in churches, in schools, through people's health insurance and their employers that they offer. We work really closely with unions. We work with community-based organizations. We work with farm worker federations. And really what we teamed up with California last year to support was how do we actually just really, really change access to COVID testing in community settings so that we could actually get a handle on transmission of the COVID virus.
All right. So what did that look like? What did you have to put in place? Did you do it throughout all the state of California? What did it look like?
Yeah. So Color has been supporting, working directly with the California Department of Public Health since last October. And this has been statewide. So last year, the state of California invested in building a state lab in Valencia, California. So this is it's a CDPH lab. It's in Valencia, and it has the capacity to process 100,000 or more samples per day of COVID testing. And Color was partnered with the state, as well as with the operator of that lab, to actually provide everything around the lab that would make it really easy for organizations to provide testing to their communities. Again, this is across the state. So for instance, you know, what it looks like for schools to be able to test students and teachers in the school and have the technology right out of the box, have the support system, have training, receive materials, have all of the shipping materials for those samples back to the lab just sort of show up and be prepackaged. And we've done that across literally thousands of organizations and sites across California now, ranging from, you know, the furthest southernmost reaches of the state up towards the border with Oregon and, you know, clear out to the east as well. So one example of this is we partnered with the state as well as with a group of African-American faith-based organizations across the state to actually transform these churches into testing sites.
Okay.
So you think about like the early days of the pandemic and everybody was basically trying to get tested in one of two places, either their doctor's office or hospital, or there were these like big, you know, public sites like with tents and everything set up in a lot of the major urban areas in particular. But what we worked on with the state this past year is actually like really changing what that looks like and making it so that organizations themselves, small groups like libraries, I mentioned farm workers, like migrant population, being able to do this through just volunteer organizations that are going into fields. How do we actually enable testing to happen anywhere in the state, literally a school or a church or anything like that? And so those are the types of organizations that we work with directly. Those samples all go to the lab in Valencia, but really it's about how do we actually make it so that testing is incredibly available for people so that we're not actually clogging up doctors' offices and hospitals and ERs with people who need a test because they may have a suspected exposure. And yeah, we've supported millions of samples now in the state of California, and overall across the entire country, we've returned over 10 million test results and over 5,000 testing sites across the country.
So in essence, you were the liaison between the state and the location as the facilitator in making sure you connected with more faith-based or maybe wherever vaccinations or testing at that point was just testing wasn't getting done. Have I got it now?
Yeah. And what these organizations do is, so when, let's say I'm a faith-based organization, I raise my hand and say, actually, I think that our community needs more testing available to it. Effectively, you contact the state and Color. And in the process of 5 days, we set that organization up with the following. They get software so that they can actually register patients and return results to them by text message, as well as actually collect samples. So basically the process of watching somebody take a sample and then scanning a barcode. They get kits, so basically shipped to them in bulk. They get everything prepackaged that they need to run a testing site, including those tubes and those swabs, as well as the shipping materials for those samples to the lab. And then they also receive access to training and support that Color provides. So for instance, we hold office hours every week with all of these sites that are collecting samples across California, with volunteers, with teachers, with nurses, where we're actually helping them kind of troubleshoot and solve questions and issues and increase testing access in their community. So they're kind of getting everything out of the box that it looks like to basically run a testing site themselves.
Okay, so how did they find you or you find them?
What happened with Color in March of last year, basically in the course of a weekend, we decided that we had a lot of tools and technology that could actually be useful. I mean, if you take yourself back to last March, there was no testing available. We were relying on nurses, you know, in ERs to call people with their test results, but they had all of these people swarming into ICUs and ERs, and the whole system was kind of locked up. And Color had been doing laboratory testing before. We had been providing this, like, you know, we had really focused on access and how do you actually take all of the overhead off of clinicians and off of nurses in the process of basic testing. And we realized we could help. So we kind of scrambled over the course of a weekend, decided we were going to try and provide COVID testing and access. And about 3 weeks later, we were actually live in San Francisco, working directly with the San Francisco Department of Public Health. And we set up a large volume testing site right down on the pier in San Francisco. We've expanded a lot since then with San Francisco, but we actually connected with the state last year as a result of that work with the testing task force that the state had set up and started just to make them aware of, like, you know, there's a different way for us to think about this. We can enable this in community sites. We started working with federally qualified health clinics across the Bay Area, and then we started expanding across the state more broadly. Last fall, when the state was thinking about this new lab resource, it really, this investment from the state was really around how do we get testing available to underserved and hard to reach communities in particular. And so we were connected with the state around those efforts because we had been doing that kind of work up in the Bay Area as well.
Let me reintroduce our guest is Carolyn Savello. She is the Color's Chief Commercial Officer. And where did you reach out? Did you reach into the Inland Empire? I know you keep mentioning the Bay Area, but our listeners are here in the Inland Empire. Did you have an impact here in our Inland Empire communities?
Yes. Color is actually running, as well as with California Department of Public Health, vaccine clinics across San Bernardino County, for instance. We're at 9 sites. We are delivering, you know, hundreds of vaccines a week across the county, really focusing on areas where we know it's difficult to get a vaccine. So we host these pop-up clinics around the county for vaccines, and we do the same for testing as well across the Inland Empire, but in particular in San Bernardino County.
Okay. So you have some pop-ups down here and throughout. So it changed from the testing and changed to making sure people are getting vaccinated, or that became the new charge for your company as part of the partnership with the state of California. And were you having to use incentives to get people to get their vaccines or to get vaccinated? What were you doing to, or were you just setting these up and telling people about it? How was the process there for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we've seen things change a lot over time. It definitely goes through kind of peaks and troughs. The state made a lot of investments in, for instance, incentives like Six Flags tickets and things like that for certain groups. And those certainly have helped. But actually, you know, what Color's really focused on more than anything, and this is in particular in the Inland Empire, actually, is working with local organizations to support canvassing efforts and to make communities feel really comfortable with vaccines. So we've partnered with a lot of, I've mentioned churches and faith-based organizations. We've included mailers and flyers on food delivery programs and food bank drives. We've supported radio ads in specific areas. We've supported a lot of Spanish language outreach as well. So actually, I think much bigger than the incentives that, you know, have gotten a lot of, like, attention from media. A lot more than that has actually just been, like, trusted relationships and direct outreach to people through canvassing efforts and through organizations that are really trusted.
So you didn't have to use the incentives. You just were trying to be there for the community to take advantage of your pop-ups.
Yeah, because what we've seen over time is like, you know, and I think this is particularly true for something like a vaccine where it's important to a lot of people, but it doesn't feel urgent always.
Oh, right.
And we've learned this over the years, you know, working with all types of different, you know, groups and types of people over time, is the easier you can make something, the more likely somebody is to do it.
Sure. Yeah.
It's all about, like, how close can you get?
Right.
How easy can you make it? That's where, like, you know, we open up in a church parking lot, you know, when services are out, right? Or we're opening up at a transit hub so that people can get a shot on their way to work or on their commute home. Hmm. You know, if it's a really onerous process, you have to wait a long time, you have to schedule an appointment far out, or you have to travel far, it just makes it a lot more difficult. And so we see that just, like, how easy we make things to access is the single biggest impact we have on healthcare overall, but in particular with something like the COVID vaccine.
All right. Well, I want to continue that conversation. We're going to take a break right now. Our guest is Carolyn Savello. She is Color's Chief Commercial Officer. We'll continue our conversation in just a little bit. You're listening to Inland Edition. I'm your host, Lillian Vasquez, and we'll be right back. If you just joined us, our guest is Carolyn Savello. She is Color's Chief Commercial Officer, and we're talking about vaccines and pop-ups and originally testing. So let's continue that conversation. You were saying the more easily accessible you make it. So sometimes people just aren't doing it not because of any particular reason other than convenience or don't want to take the time. And what I hear you saying is if you made it convenient for them that they could do it right then it might just be able to check it off their list.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even I've gone through this. I'm sure you have as well, right? Like, I haven't been to the doctor in the past year and a half. And, you know, I go to make an appointment for a basic healthcare, you know, basic like blood draw that I need to get, and I have to wait 3 months for an appointment. You know, my likelihood of actually like doing that specific thing, which is a really basic thing, is much less likely. It's all about immediacy and convenience. And that's what we see over and over again. And that's what really we try to focus on. That's why we've thought about where the vaccine clinics are and worked on this in partnership with the county as well as with the state. This is why we think about how do you make testing available just anywhere, like make it so that it almost blends into the background of daily life so that people actually will go when they feel like they have the sniffles and, you know, make sure they shouldn't be quarantining. Everything we think about is like, how do you get healthcare out of very, very hard to access, long wait time types of settings into places where it can be immediate and convenient?
I want to switch gears a little bit here. And because you were charged to work throughout the entire state, what did your data show of the rate of vaccinations either in Central California, Southern California, Northern California? Did you find definitely harder geographic areas, you know, within the state to get vaccinated?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we've focused on with the state is actually what we call gap filling, which is we've actually gone and very deliberately found areas across California where we could set up vaccine sites where otherwise it would be a long travel time to other vaccinations that would be available. So we've really been going to kind of hard to reach places where commute times to a clinic or availability generally of a vaccine would be difficult. So we tend to focus like on those hardest to reach, like lowest vaccination rate communities, just as part of our work. So I would say that definitely has ranges across the state. A lot of it relates to the density, urban versus rural. A lot of it relates to that healthcare access question. But we're focused very primarily on those types of areas, and we've been doing a lot of work, down in Southern California in particular.
What I'm really trying to find out is, were there areas that, depending on the political spectrum that they might be on, that you felt you weren't able to penetrate that area strongly enough? Or did you see it across the state all the same, that you definitely had your people that wanted it and definitely had those that didn't?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, we definitely have seen that over time. But, you know, when I was mentioning earlier, like, some of the work that we've done with local organizations, I think sometimes people misattribute why people don't want to get vaccinated.
Okay.
It isn't always like the political side of things. Like, we've actually had some experiences in areas where, for instance, like one of the things that we've done is actually worked with schools in some areas across the state where they have families who may be eligible for vaccines, but they're homeless and they are concerned about who might get information or knowledge of that. And so they have not been going to traditional sites. So we do sort of like side outreach with those groups, and we get them in through a trusted teacher, trusted school organization. And those are sometimes more the types of things that are holding people back than a strongly held belief about the rightness or wrongness of vaccines. So that's one example. Another has been undocumented populations and concerns about having to give health insurance information or their physical permanent address, and creating these places that are like kind of considered to be safe and, you know, where they can come in a discreet way and sign up and actually get access. Like, those are some of the types of things that we've seen to actually be more important than convincing people about, their political stance on vaccinations.
Right, right. And what were your results? What did you find throughout this whole time? How successful was the campaign in, you know, was California pretty well vaccinated?
Yeah, California is pretty well vaccinated. So I think, you know, I think the LA Times reported, maybe it was last week, or that I think it's 67% of Californians have at least one dose. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting up there. Other states have been higher, and obviously there is still a spread within the state, but we're in really great shape overall, and we've been seeing, you know, case rates really fall. We've been seeing hospitalizations get more under control. But, you know, it's a continued process, and I think it's going to continue to be this way for quite a while.
Well, let's talk about the challenges of scaling testing and vaccinations to reopening locations and maybe services in person, like in-person learning and schools. Mm-hmm. And what have you faced in that respect?
It actually is kind of similar to what we've been talking about around how do you make things easy? Like, it's always about
It's always
that.
About that,
like,
huh?
You have, it's always about that. If you're going to have to take an hour out of the school day to get every kid tested, it's never going to work.
Right.
It has to be something that truly, I mean, we've had this around everything, all the employers we work with, we've got all the essential workforces, has to feel like it's something that blends into the background, and that's really easy to do. So when we think about testing in schools, we're focusing on, like, how do parents actually understand this? How do they take care of all the paperwork at home? They do it on, you know, their mobile phone, just really easy. When kids get to school, how do you have samples be collected in, like, you know, 30 seconds, under a minute per kid? You just have to make sure that you can actually get into the school day. You want to make sure that people understand that their information is safe and secure, that privacy is being respected. And, you know, those are all of the things, way more than the other challenges. Like, everybody often thinks about, like, is there enough lab capacity? Do we have enough testing available and the ability to run enough tests? That really isn't the issue. It really is about how fast, simple, and convenient can you make the process of sample collection.
Our guest is Carolyn Savello. She is Color's Chief Commercial Officer, a company that is based in the Bay Area and has partnered with the state of California to facilitate testing and vaccinations across the state. And this testing ability, now that you've got it down to a science, and it's more, is it just as accurate as our early testing was?
Yes, the testing that we're supporting with California is still, you know, what people call PCR testing, which is really the gold standard, where you're able to detect the presence of the actual RNA of the virus in a sample. So you know if that person has acquired and has the virus in their system. And that's really the only way that is really reliable around still finding individuals who might be at the early stage of infection and might still be infectious to others, but not be presenting with symptoms yet. So if your child has the sniffles, you're probably going to keep them. You may keep them home now, but it may be the day before they get the sniffles, for instance, that you're worried about. And the testing is really designed to make sure that we pick up those cases.
That's comforting to know that even this quick testing is still working. Before I let you go, I want to ask, from your point of view, how can California keep COVID infections low through the rest of the year, as we're about to head into, or we're already there, into the flu season and just weather changing? What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's starting to talk about how it's going to be a really bad flu season. You know, we're seeing that. I mean, I think number one, and, you know, to see a public health expert or scientist knows, but I think it's all about vaccination, right? It's all about how do we just make sure that people get their immunizations for COVID as well as for flu at this point. The second is, you know, all of the physical kind of measures that we've been employing, like masking and, you know, good ventilation, all of those things, which are actually quite easy to do and really don't impact things that much. And then, you know, the third is testing and routine surveillance and screen and routine screening, rather. Really has demonstrated in all of the workplaces and schools that we work with that it can prevent outbreaks. Like, that is kind of the key thing. There's still going to be transmission happening. The question is, does it get into a much bigger issue with your school, with your, you know, with your workplace, with your church, where people congregate? And that is where testing has really shown to have a big impact. And I think, you know, a lot of things are open now and people are going out and life is returning somewhat to normal. And we want to make sure that continues. And I think these actions can actually have a really big impact without really affecting our ability to return to normal.
Carolyn, I want to ask you, do you have a science background or a medical background, or have you just learned this kind of information along the way in working for Color?
Yeah, it's a great question. We're all, everybody here at this company is pretty nerdy, so we all really love the details. I'm not a scientist or a clinician by training, but really, we all like make sure that we understand everything about the process, even if we didn't, you know, go to grad school for it. So we just really get steeped in everything that there is and spend a lot of time as well with other, with epidemiologists and other public health experts. And so that is part of it, and work very closely with our clinical teams and our chief scientific officer as well.
Okay, so then you do, so Colors has their own science team to relate to or talk with or ask questions of?
Mm-hmm.
It's been interesting to hear your point of view and how Color, is it Color? Why the name Color?
It's a very good question. So when we started, actually, there were two reasons for the name. One is actually we wanted something that was that didn't sound like scary or clinical. You know, so many companies in healthcare have like very hard to pronounce or kind of intimidating names. And we wanted something that actually was like very recognizable and felt friendly to people. So that was one. Hmm. And then the other, and this is where the nerdiness in us comes out. But so chromosomes, which, you know, are strands of DNA effectively, the origin of that word is many colored bodies. And so that was also part of it, was a kind of a, like a nod to the scientific side of things in our work.
Got it. All right. Carolyn, thank you so much for your input and sharing your thoughts today and a little bit about your company and how they've been working with the state of California.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I really appreciate it.
Carolyn Savello is Chief Commercial Officer for Color. You'll find more on their website at color.com. We'll include the web link on our program page. Join us again next week for Inland Edition, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and 6:30, right here on 91.9 KVCR. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/Inland Edition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, or search for Inland Edition on your favorite streaming service. Inland Edition is a production of KVCR News. Support for this production, including writing and editing, comes from Sharina Wad, Rick Dulock, and David Fleming. We get technical website and social media support from Tim Steidel, Sean Houlihan, and Natasha Coles. I'm your host, Lillian Vasquez. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.